Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. We are going to read together. All the way through to verse 16. And then we're going to jump to another verse, another passage. So, let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. Yet, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Okay, if you're trying to track and follow along in your Bibles, go ahead and jump over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to start by reading again here, verse 27. We're going to look at verse 27 through chapter 2, verse 5. So, last week we talked about, if you remember, the boxes. You had the Father, and then you had the Son, and then you had you, and then you had the Spirit. All these boxes that are collected inside each other. And what's amazing to think is that God himself put his Spirit to live and reside inside of you. Put his Spirit to live and reside inside of you. So God, the Father, has Jesus inside of him. You are inside of Jesus, and then the Spirit is inside of you. We saw that last week. A little crazy, a little wild to consider it. So, here we have Paul writing to the church at Colossae something very similar. And what he writes here is an explanation of a mystery. The mystery he's writing about is the gospel. Jesus Christ saving and bringing life into lifeless beings. He's writing that mystery. Now, I want to be clear before we read this. The mystery has been revealed. The mystery has been revealed. The gospel is now known. That mystery that people sought after for years has been revealed in Jesus Christ. So when you read somebody who writes the mystery of blank, and it has to do with the gospel or God, please know that that is a bait. That is baiting you to hear the gospel. This is on purpose. It's good. When we explain the mystery of Jesus Christ, we are explaining to people a truth that has been revealed in Christ Jesus. So this mystery is no longer a mystery for you. And Paul writes here in chapter 1, verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great these are the people who have seen the mystery. So to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So here's the mystery. Are you ready for it? This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what we talked about last week. Christ making his home in you. Remember last week when we saw the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in particular in the Gospels, Jesus, in John 14, Jesus uses the idea of the Spirit's indwelling presence, and he interchanges his name with Spirit pretty frequently and pretty freely. Because it's his Spirit, because they're one and the same. Christ residing inside you is the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's unpack that next little phrase. The Spirit lives inside you, bringing hope for glory. What we saw when we read 1 Corinthians, and I hope it jumped out to some of you, is that he uses the phrase for our glory. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For our glory. That this came for our glory. Remember what glory means. Glory means an accurate representation of reality or real exposed. This is a big deal in Hebrew culture because the Old Testament is jam-packed with the idea of reality versus unreality. God brings that which is real. Everything apart from God is unreality or lacking substance or lacking existence, lacking truth. God brings reality. It's difficult for us to grasp, but understand that glory, the concept of glory in the New Testament, is similar. That we want to see what is real, what is true, what is honest, and that's what our hearts yearn for. So consider for a moment the absence, the wandering that people do in our culture. The need for purpose and direction that everyone seems to have. This is why Purpose-Driven Life was such a hit as a book. Because everybody went, oh, I need purpose. And they're right. There's only one place to find purpose, and that's in Christ. And what we mean when we say purpose is we mean a sense of reality, a sense that I know who I am and I know what I exist for. That's the very definition of glory. You see, the Spirit makes its home inside us, revealing who we are and who we are supposed to be. Bringing reality to that which was formless and void. So the hope of glory here in verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery. And so this results in us, after recognizing Christ in us, the hope of glory, this then results in us proclaiming his gospel. Look, verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So note, Paul shares the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit as a result of understanding Christ's indwelling presence inside him. Now, just for a moment, ponder that. You've got people that you need to share the gospel with. I know you do, because I got people I need to share the gospel with. And so I'm just going to lay that on you as well. we have people we need to share the gospel with. And we have the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, God, creator of the universe, living inside us. Can you really mess it up? No. You can't mess up sharing the gospel. Why? Because the Creator God indwells you. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. This is Jesus' promise. He will bring remembrance to you all that you need. He will speak through you. He will speak. It's what He tells His disciples. It's what He tells Christians. It's the promise given that the Holy Spirit is going to reside in you and then flow out of you when you need to share the gospel. And as a result of Him living in you and the glory being revealed of who you are going to share the gospel. This is a mark of Christianity, that the gospel pours out from us. So, He says here, he toils with all the energy that God gives him, the Spirit powerfully working within him. And then chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged and knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ," he repeats that again, "which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one would delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So again, he talks about the mystery, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, residing in you. And he talks about living this life in wisdom and knowledge. So, Paul talks very plainly that the Spirit of God moves to empower you and to give you wisdom and knowledge. Indeed, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul prays that you would receive wisdom and knowledge from the Spirit, that you would be prepared to speak. So what of this wisdom? How does this look, walking in wisdom and knowledge? It's interesting that God tends to deal with our minds first. With the Spirit, He tends to deal with the mind first. The heart has been dealt with at the crucifixion. Our sin was ripped from us, buried with Christ, and resurrected. The sin's not resurrected. We're resurrected. Our sin's buried with Christ, and we are resurrected to new life in Jesus Christ. He deals with the sin. But then you'd think He'd come back and He'd say, "So, tune your hearts. Get your emotional standing to the right place." But He doesn't. Instead, what Christ does is He says, "Renew your mind. Start seeking wisdom and knowledge. Start to pursue knowing Me." And He begins to go straight for the mind. And I believe that this is necessary because the way that your mind thinks is paramount to the way that you live. If you think something about yourself, more than likely, you are going to only be able to accomplish as much as you think about yourself. If you think that you can't do something, more than likely, you're not going to be able to do it. If you think that you can do something, you still may not be able to do it. But at least you have the nerve to try. Prime example, a man who thinks he cannot overcome sin. Number one, if you think you can't overcome sin, you need to read your Bible. You're kind of empowered to overcome sin. That's really all of Paul's letters. Everyone. I'd give you a couple citations, but all you got to do is read one chapter and you'll be like, oh yeah, there it is. I can overcome sin because of Christ's power within me. I mean, we just read it in Colossians 1. He struggles with all the power that the Spirit gives him. You evidently are able to struggle with all the power that the Spirit gives you. If the Spirit can overcome sin, I mean, if you can't overcome sin, the Spirit resides in you and His power in you, ergo, you're able to overcome sin. The man who thinks that he can't overcome sin will not overcome sin. But the man who knows what the Bible says and believes what the Bible says, that I am more than a conqueror, that sin has no longer dominion over me, that I am no longer slave to sin but slave to righteousness, that man will and can and is going to overcome sin. It may be a fist fight for him, but he's going to do it. Because he recognizes the truth of Scripture and the reality of God inside him and the power of the Holy Spirit in him. So, flip back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we will get as far as we can before we stop. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Now, we just read, where is that wisdom hidden? We just read this in Colossians 1. Give me the name. Where is that? Christ. It's hidden in Christ. That secret and hidden wisdom is hidden in Christ. You with me? You following? That secret and hidden wisdom is hidden in Christ. So he says, we impart this secret wisdom of God, which God decreed before ages for our glory. Now, pause for a moment. God decreed this wisdom of Jesus Christ before the ages, or before time, before the counting began. He decreed this wisdom, Jesus Christ, and the plan for Christ existed before ages. So, hear this. Jesus Christ was not plan B. God didn't make things in the garden and then go, oh no, look at what they did. They messed everything up. I gotta figure something out. Jesus, you gotta get down there and fix this. That's not how God works. No, this was decreed from before time. This is what it means in Ephesians 1 when it says you were predestined in love before the foundations of the earth. This was God's plan the whole time. God created man knowing willfully man was going to reject him. God walked with man on the earth, choosing for himself a people, choosing for himself a person, then a people group, then a nation, raising up a kingdom, watching that kingdom completely reject him as he walked with it the whole way, sending prophet after prophet after prophet, sending priest after priest after priest, sending kings to them, to call them to himself. They willfully reject. We all, mankind, willfully reject God coming to the Gospels. And God says, fine, here it is, the plan from the beginning. I'm going to save you. Take that. And God saves and rescues and redeems and does all the work and then pulls to himself a church and develops to himself a people and walks with them, indwelling them with his very Holy Spirit power and presence, and walks with them from ages past. Jesus was not plan B. He was the only plan. He was it. Now consider that for a moment. He did that for our glory, so that we would be revealed. We read this, that creation waits and groans for the revealing of the sons of man. Creation waits and groans for its unveiling, for glory to be made manifest. So you and your glory, the revelation of who you are, is revealed in Christ. And that was the plan from the beginning, that reality would be placed in you, and that you would be revealed, that the truth of who you are would be revealed by God. It is revealed because His Spirit lives in us. Now verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So first, we need to understand that the Spirit resides in us to reveal who we are, but more than that, to transform us into who we are to be. It is for our glory, and it was decreed from the beginning. This has been God's plan all along, that His Spirit would reside in you, rescuing you and molding you into who He wants you to be, who He created you to be. Second, we need to understand that this truth and this wisdom and knowledge is not attainable by any other method than the Spirit. You cannot grasp the things of God if you are not of God. Let me say that again. You cannot grasp the things of God if you are not of God. You require the Holy Spirit's regenerating work in your heart. Now, there's a great book called Justification and Regeneration on the back table. If you want to dig into what regeneration means, what justification means, I would commend it to you. It's got a lot of great stuff about regeneration in it. And what regeneration is, that's a big theological term. We do not have time to dig into that term in one sermon. That would be like a 6-part series. So, I would commend that book to you on the back table. If you're listening on the podcast, I would commend Regeneration, Justification and Regeneration by Charles Leiter to you. So, one thing that we need to understand is that the Spirit reveals these things. Look at verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. So, we get these things because the Spirit of God lives within us. You can find wisdom because the Spirit of God resides inside you. That's what empowers you to understand the Word of God. You understand, if you hand the Bible to someone who does not have the Spirit at all working in them, they could be an atheist and the Spirit could be working around them to draw them to Himself. But if they don't have the Spirit, they will not understand it. They will read it and think you're crazy. Indeed, I have conversations weekly with a guy who thinks I'm nuts because I read this and I say what it says and he goes, "You're crazy." He will literally tell me, "You are crazy for believing these things." And I will say, not if they're true. The reality is that the Spirit must move in order for you to grasp the Scripture. The Spirit must move in order for you to recognize salvation. The Spirit must move. So that's why when we are going to encounter someone and we know that we're going to speak to them about the gospel, our first tack needs to be, Lord, move in this discussion. Lord, change their hearts. That our first tack is always prayer. We go to war with prayer, not with words, not with hands, not with deeds. We go to war with prayer. Prayer is our weapon. We attack the adversary. We evangelize, we share the gospel with prayer. That is our weapon of choice. We have other ones that we use, but our first primary weapon is prayer, followed by voice. You've heard it said, share the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. I just want to encourage you, it's always necessary. It's always necessary. Using words is necessary always. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word. And how can they hear unless someone preaches? Somebody tells them. They have to hear. This is Scripture, straight up. Scripture. It's a great thought that you can share the gospel without doing anything. It's just not true. You share the gospel by living the gospel out, by praying the gospel into people's lives, and then by speaking it. Otherwise, you're just a really nice person. So, we share the gospel with the Spirit. The Spirit moves all things. Now, check this out. These are just the next couple things that we're going to observe here in a few minutes, and then you have homework, because I know that I'm not going to finish this sermon. You have homework here afterwards. Look at verses 10 through 16 with me. 10b through 16. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and that we might impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So check this out. You want to know what God has for your life? God is unfathomable, massive, and distant, and very difficult to understand, right? He made the stars, hangs them on nothing. Yes? He hung them on nothing. He causes the earth to go in its rotation. He causes tides to come and go. He is powerful, Lord over all things. He tells the land, go here, rise here. He tells the valleys, fall here. He makes earthquakes come. He makes tsunamis come. He makes hurricanes come. He causes blizzards. He's the one who holds all things in existence. Nothing happens apart from his hand. He is distant and difficult and hard to understand, and yet Paul asks in Romans, who can understand the mind of God? And yet, he says here, the Spirit searches everything. And then he goes on to say, who can know the mind of a man except his spirit which is within him? Now, put the puzzle together. Put it together. The Spirit searches everything, and the Spirit lives and resides in you. The Spirit knows the mind of God. The Spirit knows everything about God. And He decides to take up residence in you. Look at the very last verse, 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. You want to understand the mind of the Lord? You can. That should blow you away. You mean I can understand what God wants and says and does? Talk about miraculous. I can pick up the scripture and read it and go, that's the word of the Lord to me. I can apply it to my life. Myself. And why? Because Christ decided to take up residence in my heart and in me, in the core of my being. He decided to take up residence. You see, the Spirit speaks in us. How can you know God? Well, you can know God because the Spirit searches everything. Just for a moment, the Greek word everything there, very complex word, means everything. All of it. Greek word, everything, in this passage, means everything. Spirit searches everything. So get this. Who can know the mind of God? Well, evidently you can, because the Spirit resides in you, and that's the Spirit of Him. Now, understand this. He is not a passive spirit. He searches everything. The Spirit searches everything. All your hidden things, all your faults, all your issues, all your anger, all your joys, all the things that bring you happiness, all the things that you are involved in, every single thought, every single deed, every time you pray for someone else, every time you lift up your voice in concern for someone, the Spirit searches everything. He searches all things, you and God. He searches everything. He knows everything. He is involved in everything. You do not walk alone. You do not face your trials alone. You are not by yourself. You are with the Spirit of God empowering you and living inside you to rescue a dying world with your words that you give because they come from Him. That is incredible. That is amazing. The Spirit searches all things, and He interprets spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, we will come back to this a little bit next week, but I want to encourage you to do this homework on the back of this paper. This week, there are several little verses, just a couple of them. What I want you to do is read them and note what you see about the Spirit of God. The first one I'm going to give to you is that the Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation. And the first step to knowing how we tap into the wisdom and knowledge of God, the first step to knowing how to tap in to the wisdom and knowledge of God is to know that the Spirit is the guarantee of your salvation and that He is present with you.